Welcome to Viva la Vulva, the podcast that explores and teaches about the goodness of the vulva. Here is your host, Dr. Kara Quant, an internal medicine doctor and advocate for female sexual health.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Viva la Vulva podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kara Quant, and I would like to thank you for joining me today. Today is a special day. I have a new guest on the podcast. This is Dr. Joy L. Ballard. She is an OBGYN located in the Maryland area. And I wanted to, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dr. Kara. I'm excited about this conversation.
Yes, me too. I just want you actually to introduce yourself to the audience. Tell people, what you do, where you're from.
Yeah.
Maybe know a little bit, OBGYN.
Yeah, most definitely. Thank you. So yes, I am Dr. Joy L. I'm a board certified OBGYN and the menopause mogul. I am a business coach for Black women 40 and over who have a desire to build a service-based business, but feel stuck and overwhelmed by midlife changes. So I coach them on how to navigate through those changes using their authentic power so they can gain energy, confidence, clarity, and focus to build and then launch a service-based business and create the life they truly want. I am located, like I said, in the DMV area in Maryland. I am a wife and a mom of three children who keeps me on my toes all the time.
That is a handful. And I feel like I'm just tired, like doing my things. I don't have any children. Hats off to you. Thank you again for coming on. I wanted to start out with an icebreaker. This is something that I wanted to start doing. And so the icebreaker question is about sex education and what your first experience with sex education was.
Ooh, that's an interesting icebreaker, by the way. So I'm trying to reach back in my memory bank. And as far as my first introduction, I think it was in fifth grade in health class, where they started talking about, all the body parts and how the sperm and, the different forms of the sperm and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I didn't really had that conversation at home, though. I didn't really have that, go to my mom or my dad and be like, hey, so can I ask you about this? And so that's why I'm very intentional about with my kids. My kids are 7, 9, and 11. And we've already been talking about sex, which is crazy to me when I think about it and say it out loud, but it's so important. Based off of my own childhood, like I said, I didn't really have those conversations at home. So, when we grew up, it was my mom was very quiet and really all I knew was don't do it. Don't have sex.
Right? And don't do it until you're married. Yeah,
exactly. So I learned a lot from my friends and, stuff like that. So yeah, I didn't really have a big I had the talk with my mom and things like that. It was more like what I learned in class and, in health class in fifth grade. And then, what I talked about with my friends, and that was really it.
Yeah. And do you feel that you have had the conversation with your kids because you're an OBGYN, because you have a medical background? Is it because of your experience and I don't want to do it how, what I grew up with sex education or lack of sex education?
Right. That's a great question. I think it's a little bit of all of that, to be honest. I think, because I do what I do as far as an OBGYN, making it comfortable, just seeing women in the office, a lot of women come in, in their 40s and 50s, don't feel comfortable even looking down at their vagina, right? And as Malik said, in my childhood, didn't really have that conversation and really feel like if I've had those conversations early on, I would have made different choices growing up when it came to sex. So I really want to just arm my children with this, as much information as possible and the right information. Just have healthy conversations and let them know that it's healthy to talk about it, right? Because it's, back when I was growing up, it was all hush hush and whisper and don't really talk about it, and all the things. So a little bit about all of that, just kind of allowing them, my children, to have the information that they need, allow them and being open with them to have, the opportunity to ask questions. I also didn't feel comfortable coming to my parents with those type of questions because I'm I don't want to talk to them about it, right? So I really want to have my, like, I have an open door with my kids so they can come to me with any of those things. So then when they go out with their friends, learn this stuff about what their friends do, I'm just like, Lord, let me tell you the real story.
Let me tell you the real story before you hear from your peers. What
exactly.
What the facts are. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. Okay. So diving into it, you said that you created this menopause mogul coaching, and I do want to, you know, get into self-care as a lifestyle, but
yeah,
we will, you know, work our
yeah,
way.
We'll
into
get to
it.
That. Yeah.
We'll weave our way into it. Why did you decide to start menopause mogul coaching?
Yeah. Thanks for that question. So it really stemmed from my own journey through perimenopause. I started at the age of 39. And then as I was, you know, kind of going through into my early 40s and also having the desire to build a business, build my own brand outside of my practice, I met many challenges, you know, internally with all the things that were going on mentally, physically, emotionally with me, as far as the changes that I experienced, you know, through perimenopause. And then, you know, again, having the desire to build a business, which I felt like, how can I build a business? I don't feel confident. I got this brain fog going on. Like I got things going on. I got these three kids over here. Like what, how can I do all of this? And still had, you know, I had this dream of actually building something outside of my just, you know, just my practice. So through my own journey and what I did, which, you know, self-care like truly saved my life and sparked this whole journey, to be honest, I decided to build something so I can help other women do the same thing, especially Black women. Just again, just noticing the changes within myself and the things that, you know, just kind of was conditioned to do as a Black woman, going through medicine, going, you know, into practice and taking care of patients. I really wanted to empower other Black women to do the same. You know, you don't have to, you know, feel like you're in your 40s and like, oh gosh, I had this dream and I can't do it because I'm in my 40s and I got these symptoms going on and, you know, all the things that we tell ourselves. And I really wanted to empower them that you can do it. It's very possible, but you know, there's a process.
there is a process, I'm sure. And just to kind of define, because everyone is kind of on different levels of listeners of the podcast, menopause right. is defined as no periods for a year. So when you start having those more sporadic periods, you know, it's coming every other month or it's coming every 2 months, that is when you're kind of hitting perimenopause, or that's like the perimenopausal time.
Right.
So just wanted to give some definitions out there of like mm-hmm. perimenopause versus menopause. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you started it because you wanted to empower other people, other women, other Black women to like own what they want to do in life. Right. They don't feel too, you know, they can put out the excuses of feeling too old or mm-hmm. too this or too that.
Right.
So yes, I'm grateful for you for doing that.
Yeah, most definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. Now how can women harness the power of the perimenopausal and the menopausal time in their life? Like just a brief thing of how women can harness that power.
Yeah, I think, and I had to learn this myself, like the whole narrative around perimenopause and menopause is like, oh my God, this is happening, it's doom and gloom. And through my journey, I realized there's actually power in this. This is an opportunity for women to really delve deep into themselves and really just kind of ask themselves questions about, okay, this is happening to me. You know, a natural thing has happened to me. It's going to happen, right?
It's going
to
happen. Yeah.
It's going to happen. You cannot avoid this. I know many women like to avoid it and like trying to find ways to avoid it, but it's going to happen, sis. It's going to happen. But ask yourself, okay, so what do I need in this season of my life? Because I think as women, we don't really take a lot of time to ask ourselves questions as we're going through all these changes mentally, physically, emotionally. What do I need? What do I want? And really do the work in regards to, okay, this is what I need. This is what I want. Okay, how do I get that? How do I get to a point where I can, you know, get what I need and get what I want and still feel fulfilled, still thrive through this season? Because there are definitely moments where you're like, oh, this is like torture. And it's like, you know, it feels very daunting. There are moments like that, but there's also, you know, times where you can actually still keep going and still thrive through this process. And when you find your own power by asking yourself those questions, okay, you know, what do I need? What do I want? And how do I can communicate with everybody else around me to get that? Because that's the thing too. We take all this pressure on ourselves, like, oh, I got to do all the things and figure it out all by myself. But if we can ask, you know, if your significant other, your husband, your children, like, this is what you need to do to help me out because I'm struggling right now. So being able to have those questions and communicate your needs and wants to other people around you so that you can actually get to those goals that you have, like building a business, following your passions, even through these changes. So, yeah.
But you know what? I feel like the first step is probably the hardest step because like you were saying, women take on so many responsibilities and so much onus on themselves. And right. So I feel like a difficult thing or what I'm thinking for myself would be like, how do I even ask for that help? How do I even, you know, put the words to say that, hey, to my partner, hey, to my kids, that right. I need this for myself. I need this for my business, my growing business. So I feel like that would be the hardest first step or the hardest step.
Yeah, it is a hard step. And for me, and this is what I coach my clients on, you really have to change the relationship that you have with yourself and be selfish, to be honest. You know, people feel like selfish is a bad thing, but it can be a good thing. You can be excessively concerned with yourself and your wants and your needs. You can do that. You deserve that, right? So, you know, have a different relationship with yourself when you're actually being vulnerable. And because, you know, when you ask for help, you're being vulnerable, right? Like you're asking like, oh my gosh, like you're putting it out there that you may not be able to handle it. Or, you know, my thing was like, oh, I look weak. That was my thing. Like I had such a problem asking for help, like for anything. But again, when you change your relationship with yourself, when you, you know, tell yourself like, okay, first, it is okay not to be okay. It is okay to ask for help and have that compassion for yourself. And then, you know, once you start doing that, you can then start to take those steps where you can get to a point where you can ask for help and really pay attention to, you know, what you want and what you need and do those things to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So now what, actually, have you had clients come to you who are either under the age of 40 wanting to do coaching with you or like, do you open up to any age or this is specifically for perimenopause and menopausal women?
Yeah, I typically it's 40 and over. My first client was 39. Okay. So I do open it up to late women in their late 30s. Because yeah, I mean, because that also, I mean, perimenopause can start at early as late 30s, right? 38, yeah. 39. Yeah. So I do open it up to them. But you know, for the majority of them, they have been 40 and over or whatever. So yeah.
Okay. And then going to my next question about, we actually had a conversation before this one, just to right. get to know each other a little bit better. And mm-hmm. and you made an interesting comment about menopause being different for women of color. And right. I wanted you to expand upon that. Like, why is it that menopause is different for women of color?
Yeah. So menopause, perimenopause can look different in women of color and Black women. And it look different in the sense of women of color can experience or enter perimenopause and menopause at an earlier age compared to white women. They can have a longer menopausal transition. You know, the transition can be anywhere from 2 to 10 years, but the women of color have on more of the longer spectrum of 10 years and beyond. And they can also have more severe symptoms, especially those hot flashes. And the reason why, based on the studies, they are saying that, you know, women of color have what they call, you know, there's something called allostatic load. And it's basically more of a chronic wear and tear on their bodies just because of the things that they've been through in their life, whether it's trauma, but also tied to racism, implicit bias, explicit bias, like all the things that women of color go through, whether it's in childhood, during their education, in their careers, all of those things. And it's a chronic, you know, their bodies are chronically trying to maintain homeostasis because they're trying to maintain a type of persona to be like, so they won't be perceived as an aggressive Black woman or the angry Black woman. They won't be perceived as, or this or that. So they're chronically trying to do that. And their body is, you know, chronically trying to, you know, kind of fix that so they won't do that. That has basically kind of made things off balance where they're just more sensitive to what the changes that are going on with perimenopause and menopause. Mm-hmm. So when menopausal changes come in, your body's is like, "Woo, I'm already tired. Now I gotta like try to figure out what's going on with these hormones. They're going all over the place." So it's like, so everything is so much more intense and just takes a longer time because of that.
Okay. Yeah. And so how do you coach women during that time? Because we were talking and I was asking you, like, do you prescribe hormones or do you recommend like vitamins? What is it that you recommend to your clients to help them harness that power and, you know, kind of reduce their symptoms of hot flashes and insomnia and, you know, what have you, the various symptoms of menopause.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I have the thought of, or the belief that, you know, you can throw all the hormone replacement therapy, all the products, the supplements, all the things at your body. If you don't have the relationship you need to have with yourself to go through this process or go through this journey of perimenopause and menopause, all those other things won't matter, because what needs to happen is, I mean, those things can potentially help, but if you can't change your perception of yourself in this season of your life, you can't change your response to what is happening, because the easy response is like, "Oh my gosh, this is happening. I'm stuck in struggle mode," right? If you can change your response to that and be like, "Okay, this is happening and I was on a bit of a struggle bus, but I can keep going because I am choosing myself," right? Choosing me, giving myself grace, like, "Oh my gosh, I had this brain fog. I couldn't remember. This happened to me. I couldn't remember this. I went to a patient's room, forgot the whole history in my head of what I was going to talk about. And I had to leave the room." I had to give myself grace for that. I'm like, instead of judging myself, like, "Girl, what is wrong with you?" You know? So just giving yourself grace. Like, "Okay, this is happening, but I'm okay. And what do I need right now in order to make me feel better in my skin?" So it's more so, again, going, I coach them on how to choose themselves and change their relationship with themselves, where they actually get to know themselves again. Because again, things are such happening all awry in your body and your mind. You're trying to figure out what the hell is going on. So they actually get to know themselves, you know, where they are and who they are becoming, like themselves and not judge themselves, and trust themselves again. And that is when they're able to, you know, go through those processes of, you know, the menopausal symptoms, go through those things that, you know, that are happening in their lives, just on a greater, you know, a greater mood and just more of, like I say, instead of struggle, just thriving and being able to do all the things that they want to do in their life, you know, despite all the internal things that may be going on. So a lot of coaching in regards to, like I said, being able to look at yourself a different way, talk to yourself a different way, and treat yourself a different way. Because again, we talked about how we just put everything on ourselves and try to do all the things. And we have to teach ourselves that we, or unlearn that we don't have to do that. Like, why are we doing that? Like, we don't have to do that. So I mean, being able to unload those things that no longer serve us and do the things that we actually love and, you know, passionate about, instead of doing all the other things that we don't really care about.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes. I mean, yeah, I feel like that's a whole course in itself of, yes, you know, unlearning the stuff that we have learned growing up being, yes, women and feeling like we need to take on a lot of things or, right, say yes to a lot of things, or, yep, you know, like put our own selves second because we're putting someone else ahead of us.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like that's the whole course.
It is. Yeah, it is. It is. Because that's huge. That's what we do. Yeah. That is what we do. Children or no children. That is what we do. We do all the things. We have to do all things because we've been taught, like, girl, you need to handle that. Like, you need to, what are you doing? Like, you need to do all of that. Like, no, we don't need to do that. No, we're not doing it.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, what's the first, now I'm asking for myself, like, what's the first step in, what do you suggest for your clients? Or what is maybe some of the process you go through of like unlearning that idea? Because I feel like it's a pretty big idea that many women have in their minds.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. That's, it's different for everybody in regards to, just looking at, just all the things that you are putting on yourself, right? Whether it's family, whether it's your job, what all those things are. And just really, writing all those things down and figuring out, and also being honest with yourself. Because, sometimes we just, we won't be honest with ourselves. Like, nah, it's okay. Like, no, it's not. No, it's not. So being honest with yourself and figuring out which of those things actually you can say no to or do less of, and realizing how it's not serving you. Like I said, we're doing all the things and not knowing that this is not really serving us because we're just so used to doing all the things.
Yeah.
Right. So like really just picking and choosing, and at the same time, pouring into yourself, pouring into yourself at the same time. Cause we can do all the things, but we're doing all these things and not pouring back into us. And we are exhausted. We get exhausted and we run out of gas over and over again. But guess what we do? We keep going.
We keep going
because that's what we're supposed to do. Just keep going, girl. Just keep going. It'll get better. But no.
Not necessarily will. Yes.
Not necessarily will. You can end up in the ER somewhere like I did. Like, it's just, yeah. So you really also have to be intentional about also pouring back into yourself, because you can do the one thing, but if you're not pouring back into yourself, it's just a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, coffee, it definitely helps me to continue moving, and caffeine and I mean, sleep is good, but there are many people who don't do that, or drink the Red Bulls and the Monsters and multiple things of coffee.
Exactly.
For myself included, to keep it going.
Right. No, we have to stop doing that.
We got to stop doing that, which takes us to creating self-care as a lifestyle, because when we talked before, I was like, well, yeah, self-care. And I actually even had a podcast episode about self-care. Mm-hmm. And my thing was like, okay, do it once a week, to go to the spa or get a massage, or, meditate, whatever it is, sleeping late, but not as like a lifestyle, like not as something that is done on a daily basis. So I feel like this is definitely a new concept for me hearing that.
Yeah, most definitely. And that's what I coach my clients on. For me personally, my idea of self-care, right? Like, so when I was going through my perimenopausal, I was, I was hot flashes, irritability, brain fog. I was all the things. I was a hot damn mess, like literally, right? And I was like, okay, I need to do more self-care. I'm going to schedule a massage once a month and I would be fine. I would have that massage and come home and still be angry. Like, why am I still like, this is not working? This is not working. So I had to redefine what self-care is. And what I realized was I need to do something on a daily basis, right? I need to find something that brings me joy that I can do on a daily basis. It don't have to be anything big. Like I said, it don't have to be no big old massage, every day. Obviously, who doing that?
Yeah.
But, it can be the smallest thing that brings you some sort of joy. So for me, whether it's reading my devotional, whether it's lighting a candle and putting some gospel music on, whether it's dancing all in the house by myself, like whatever that thing is, do that every single day. Right? Gratitude. I write gratitude at the end of my evening every single night. Like whatever that thing is, do something every single day to pour into yourself. And like I said, the smallest thing, it can take 5-10 minutes. And it just builds up over time. Like you know, like I said, you don't have to, like you said, once a week, once a month. Like, no, that is not working. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
For the long duration, like for the long term, like we have to, you know, cause life, like I said, life be life and things be happening. So if we are not doing something on a daily basis and things just go haywire, just, you know, blow up, we don't have any reserve to handle that. So we just, you know, we just go off the deep end. So if we're able to kind of maintain something within ourselves where we can still find joy, we can still, you know, feel rested, like, you know, whatever that thing is, you can still, you know, thrive through all the things, all the circumstances that may be happening around you or within you. You can still thrive through that because you are pouring in, you are being intentional about pouring into yourself every day.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I think I didn't understand the concept of even self-care in my 20s. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm in my 30s and even late 30s, I'm like, it has become such a big thing for me. And I also didn't think about like the small things. Like I exercise on a regular basis. And
yeah.
That's definitely self-care.
That's self-care. Definitely. That's
self-care. Meditating and, you know, just, yeah, lighting candles, like listening to relaxing music, especially right. After a day of, you know, a hectic, like busyness within the clinic. So, yeah, I have definitely realized in my 30s that self-care is, it's like a thing, like I have to do it for myself or yes. I don't know what would happen.
Yeah. We burn out. Yeah. Yeah. I knew nothing about self-care in my 20s and 30s. Like what? Self-care. Like what was that? Yeah. Like cause I actually also had high blood pressure. Right. So my primary care doctor, and that was in between my second and third kid, I think. But she was like, what are you doing for self-care? I'm like, what? I'm like, lady, I got three kids. Like, what are you talking about? Self-care? Like, what? Like, no, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm. And that's my brain will automatically thought like, oh, I'm just going to the spa once a month. Yeah, no, that does not work.
That
doesn't work. But yeah, self-care is so, it's not just about, you know, the spa or meditation. It's different facets of it. Like you said, it's exercise, it's moving your body, it's eating, you know, healthier, it's, you know, creating a space, like decluttering spaces where you actually have just, you know, feel like you can think and just sit with yourself mentally, you know, emotionally. There's different facets of yourself that you really have to kind of, you know, tap into just to maintain, like you said, yourself, because you will burn out.
Yeah.
You will burn out. Yeah.
I was going to ask, so especially like how, for yourself, how did self-care change after having children?
Yes. You mean like what
or
I did?
How did you prioritize time for yourself with children?
Right. Yeah. Great question.
Yes. Exactly.
As a mom, three kids, what do you mean self-care, girl? Like what? who has time for that?
Yeah.
This again goes back, and because I had the same thoughts. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. The kids got all their activities. They have their own schedule. Like their schedule is busier than mine. I'm like, I don't even know how this happened, but okay. But it goes back to me changing the relationship that I have with myself and making self-care non-negotiable. This is not a choice. Like, this is not like I get to do this. This is I have to do this.
Yeah.
In order for me to serve my people, whether it's my clients, my children, my husband, in order for me to serve them, I have to serve me first.
Mm, yeah.
And I had to give myself permission to do that without the guilt. Because I know the mommy guilt too, y'all. Like the mommy guilt is real. It is so real. And it'd be trying to bring you back like, nah, girl, to think you're doing this for yourself. The kids need you. They want you to play with them. They want you to do whatever that thing is. Like, no. We will play, but mommy has to do this first. And my kids know, like, oh, mommy's meditating. Mommy's meditating. They know.
Good. Yeah, it's good.
And that's why I empower my clients to do. They were able to actually also go to their husbands and their children, like, mommy's going to do this in the morning. I need you to give me my space. And it don't have to be like a large amount of time. It can be 10 minutes, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. give them, you know, set your boundaries, right? Your boundaries, you know, do all of that so they know, like communicate that. Like they know, like mommy needs this time. And this is what, this is, if y'all want me to do for y'all, y'all got to do for me.
So to your dad during this time.
Exactly. So
That's a great idea. I mean, because even, I mean, I'm in the urgent care, you know, talking to patients, seeing patients on a regular basis, I am constantly confronted with moms who are coming in and, you know, I'm giving them advice on, you know, lowering their blood pressures or lowering their like stress levels and meditation and things like that. And they're like, well, you know, the excuse is I'm a mom and, you know, I'm a single mom and I don't have the time for it. So, like, how am I supposed to fit this in? And it's like, there's a way. There's a way. To put it in, there's whether they're asleep, whether they're, you know, at daycare. There's ways to do it to fit yourself.
Yeah.
And prioritize.
Exactly. Yep.
Yes. Another thing that I actually get all the time from patients is to not get old. I have patients 70s, 80s, 90s, and, you know, with ailments of different sorts, knee pain, back pain, hip pain. And they're like, just don't get old. And I'm like, well, that is inevitable. So I'm going, you know, it's happening to all of us. So wanted to know, like, from your experience doing the menopause mogul coaching, you know, like advice that you may give your clients or patients, what is the key, or for yourself, what is the key to healthy aging?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I got that all the time in the office too. Like, doc, don't get old, girl, because I'm just like, well, if I don't get old, that means I die. Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing too, the perspective of, oh, I don't want to get to menopause. Yeah, you do, girl. That means you're still living. Like, that means, so I honestly feel like we have to change our perspective of aging, right? Because there's also these things out in the world, anti-aging this, anti-aging. Why are we anti-aging? Like, don't we?
And it's mainly for women. It's mainly for women. You don't see
anti-aging cream, anti-aging this. Like, no, why are we anti-aging? Can we be pro-aging up in here so we can get to a, you know, our 60s and 70s and be thriving out here? Like, no. Like, so changing the perspective of actually aging and what that actually means. Like, it doesn't have to mean like, you know, you're going to be all broken up and your life is over. But no, this can be a new season of your life, because the beginning of the new season, not the end, it's the beginning, right? And again, it also just goes back to you truly treating yourself differently in this season of your life, not, you know, putting all the onus on yourself and doing all the things like you've been doing. You really have to change what you were doing before, like in your prior version of yourself. You can't do that anymore when you're getting older. You have to do it differently and be open to that and be open to change and open to evolve. Because I think a lot of times we also resist aging because we're trying to stay like we were in our 20s and 30s. And I'm like, we're not supposed to, right? Like we're supposed to change. We're supposed to evolve. Yeah. So we can let go of that prior version of ourselves and be open and embrace that version that we are becoming. I think we can have a better outlook as far as aging and do the things that we, like I said, that pour into us so we can be healthy. The moving of our bodies, the meditating, you know, whether it's going to therapy, if you need that, like I said, doing the things that bring you joy, like all those things, I think we can change that perspective and age and, you know, in a healthier way.
Yes. No, I agree because, I feel like ever since I was younger, you know, it has been a fear, like a societal fear of getting older. Like, yeah, it's inevitable.
Right.
But yeah, I think especially for women, it is, yes, there's a lot of anti-aging. There's a lot of messaging in TV and advertisements about, like, you need to look as young as possible for as long as possible. Here's a cream. Here's an injection. Here's insert. So I feel like, aging gracefully, aging, evolving. I do. Yeah. I like that word, evolving, because we're not going to stay the same.
Yeah. Right.
We're not.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. Yes. Well, Dr. Joy L, I have enjoyed this conversation thoroughly. And I want you to let people know how they can stay in contact with you, how they can do the menopause mogul coaching with you. Because you also, I mean, you're like a force. You're an OBGYN, you're a mom, you have a podcast, you have a book, you have. So just please list all of the things.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Kara. This was so much fun. I really appreciate you inviting me on your podcast and your platform. I'm loving what you're doing too. So keep going, girl, but take care of yourself at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, I am on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, as Dr. Joyel, DrJoyel. My website is drjoyel.com, and you can find my book, Loving Me, Myself, and Her Through Perimenopause and Beyond. You can buy my book from there, an autographed copy. Okay. With my Menopause Moguls coaching program, is information on my website about that. But please send me a DM on Instagram about if you're interested in having more information about that. You can send me a DM on Instagram, like I said, at Dr. Joyel. Yeah, I think that in my podcast, Menopause Moguls podcast, is on all podcast listening apps. I drop an episode every Wednesday. So please tune into that too.
Okay. Well, thank you. I will put that in the description of the podcast episode. So if you missed it, there will be details about the social media and website and the book in there and how to get in contact with Dr. Joyel. So thank you again for being on the podcast. And I just appreciate all that you do in this world.
Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you, listeners out there. If you like this episode, subscribe to the podcast, let your friends and family know about it, because I believe that Viva La Vulva and empowering sexual health and empowering women, you know, the divine feminine is an important thing to do. So thank you for supporting, and thank you for listening to the Viva La Vulva podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kara Quant, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.